This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We watch a documentary film a month for our project Econ Extra Credit. This month, it's a new concert film and social history called Summer of Soul. The performances are from 1969, the same summer as Woodstock. Meanwhile, in New York's Harlem, one after the other, some of the truly greats of soul performed over 6 weekends. Questlove, Amir Thompson, the musician, DJ, and author, directed this film using footage gathered by a producer named Hal Tulshan, who had tried and tried to get this assembled into a film, but died some years ago without seeing the project realized. Joining us are two of the producers of the Questlove film, Joseph Patel and Robert Fivelant. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Now, the film zooms in on the idea of black erasure when the contributions of people of color don't show up in history. But Robert, help me with the mechanics of this. There was an original producer with TV experience named Hal who arranged to shoot video at these amazing concerts.
Yeah, I'll start. I had a relationship with Hal over the years. You know, I got involved with this project maybe, I think it was 2006. And I met with Hal and sort of got his story. Hal had heard about the event and was smart enough to recognize that these were important artists and contacted the festival and got permission to basically record it with the hope of putting the footage together to sell as some sort of TV special or a program in 1969.
Okay. How in the world did that stay pretty much hidden for so many years?
You know, the pipeline was narrow in 1969. I think he was a little bit naive. I mean, he did it on spec. I think he thought that one of the three networks was going to be interested. And, you know, I think there's no other way to look at it than to say that the networks were afraid of a show that was all black artists.
Yeah, I think it's not just, you know, individual artists like Nina Simone or, you know, Sonny Chirac, who we feature in the film. I think it's the totality, an entire show with all black artists probably left some networks a little afraid in 69. I think the thing that's really shocking to me personally is 10 years later, Hal tried to revive this footage and sell it again. And nobody bit then. You know, at that point, Stevie Wonder has become the genius Stevie Wonder, and Nina Simone's stature only grows with time. So in hindsight, it's a little bit surprising that nobody took Hal's footage and made something of it before now. But I think all of us who have grown up in American society understand probably the underlying reasons why that was the case.
So you approach Questlove, Amir. He hadn't really heard of the Harlem Music Festival?
Yeah, so we told Amir about it, and we arranged to, you know, he was curious enough to want to meet with us, and I started telling him about it. And, you know, it's an incredulous thing when you tell somebody, oh, we have, you know, Stevie Wonder at 19, we have Mavis singing with Mahalia Jackson, we have Gladys Knight, and, you know, his jaw was open, and, you know, I whipped out my laptop and said, here, take a look, and showed him some footage, and I could see the light in his eyes and the enthusiasm like anybody that sees that for the first time. And we were off to the races at that point.
I mean, because many people will be embarrassed that they didn't know about this cultural phenomenon. But if Amir Questlove Thompson hadn't heard about it, I guess it hadn't really resounded within the wider culture. That's just the way it turned out.
I think he's, you know, Joseph can talk about this, but, you know, I think he was very self-deprecating about it and, you know, sort of laughing that, how did I not know about this? I'm a preeminent musicologist and, you know, these are artists that I love. And, you know, that's the beauty of this film is that nobody has seen this. And, you know, it's literally putting this film back into the lexicon, into our history and consciousness.
And I think that, you know, one of the things that we tapped into in the film is the people who did remember it are the people who went. And that was the first thing on our list, is to try to find people who actually attended the festival. And, you know, we played back footage to them after our interviews, and you see, you know, the pure emotion and joy and flood back of memories in their eyes. And I think that was something that we knew pretty early on that we wanted to tap into.
Joseph Patel, how did you come on board this?
Once Robert and David had procured Questlove as the director, Everyone wanted a creative producer that could work with Amir to help bring this story to life. And I go back 25 years with Amir. So when he was tapped as director, they approached me. And I actually originally said no, because Amir is a very, very busy guy. And I just was a little suspect that he would have the time to commit to a project of this magnitude. And he convinced me otherwise, which I'm very, very thankful he did. But he basically said, he told me how important this story was to him. And he honed in on this idea that had this festival and Hal's footage come to light as originally intended, the kind of impact it would have made on him as a youngster and other people like him in that generation, instead of remembering Woodstock, but what if we remembered the Harlem Cultural Festival? And it resonated with me, what he was saying and how much this story meant to him.
This is one of the greatest concert films maybe anyone will ever see, but it's not just a concert film. You know, the team that put this together went out of its way to contextualize what was going on.
Yeah. You know, once we got Hal's footage, we had to sort of piece everything together because there were no thorough articles written about this festival. So we had to sort of figure out who performed in what order on what days. And we started to make a map of what else was happening at the time, not only in Harlem, but, you know, in New York and in the rest of America. And you start to look at the timeline of 1969 and the motivations for why this festival was put together. And it's just an incredibly dynamic year, especially socially. You know, you've got a year after Martin Luther King dies, a year after Bobby Kennedy dies. You've got man landing on the moon. You've got Nixon in the White House. It is an extraordinary year in American history. And we just felt that the performances on stage in Harlem for that audience, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's happening amidst all this other stuff. And the only way to sort of appreciate what's happening on stage is to contextualize it with what's happening off stage. Our very genius editor, Josh Pearson, came up with the idea of like figuring out, you know, how do we tuck in some of this story into the performances so that you're sort of going back and forth. And Amir, drawing inspiration from music, he had the reference. He's like, I want this movie to feel like the way Public Enemy's albums were produced. It's a very sort of pastiche montage style, a very rhythmic quality to the editing you see. And I think that was sort of a eureka moment for us in the edit.
Everything's going on at the same time. It's the same summer, you know, as we say, of Woodstock, but also Apollo 11 landing happens essentially at the same time as one of the six concerts that make up the Harlem Festival. And you have a clip, I think, probably from CBS, in which you get a very different take on the achievement of the lunar landing. Let's listen.
What are your thoughts?
As far as science goes and everybody that's involved with the moon landing and astronauts, it's beautiful, you know. Like me, I couldn't care less.
The cash, this means more to you than that.
Yeah, much more. Cash they wasted, as far as I'm concerned, in getting to the moon could have been used to feed poor black people in Harlem and all over the place, all over this country. So, like, you know, like, never mind the moon, let's get some of that cash in Harlem.
Well, you see, gentlemen, right, that when culture erases that moment, it erases that important point of view.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most amazing things that happened while we were making this movie was that the footage is, you know, as advertised, footage that hasn't been seen in, you know, over 50 years. But in researching it, we found footage that wasn't part of what was, you know, in the Hal Tolchin stash, which was Walter Cronkite cutting to a reporter at the Harlem Cultural Festival. And, you know, to be able to make the connection between our footage and that perspective of what America saw even then, you know, was pretty striking.
Yeah, the erasure extends, and that clip that we include in the movie of Walter Cronkite throwing to Bill Plant at the Harlem Cultural Festival, that clip was never aired, I think, beyond New York City. And we had to sort of dig in the archives and get that cleared to use. Thankful that CBS's news archives let us use it, but it does show that that perspective was sort of hidden from plain view.
And the film makes this point that the summer of 69 is this turning point for really the brand of blackness. Let's play one more clip.
69 was the pivotal year where the Negro died and black was born.
So
So, I mean, when you see the performances and what the performers are saying and how the entire festival is put together, what people are wearing, black as a term, which we now capitalize, by then has arrived.
Yeah, I mean, one of the people we spoke to was Charlene Hunter Gault, who's, you know, at the time in 1969 is sort of the unofficial Harlem bureau chief for the New York Times. She's doing a lot of reporting on a lot of the stuff going on in Harlem. And she tells the story that we include in the film that she filed a story that year in 1969 where she changed the word Negro to black and her editor reversed her change and that she got very upset and sent an 11-page memo to Abe Rosenthal, the editor of the New York Times, explaining why using the term black was important. You know, and I think what you're seeing in 69, especially in Harlem, which is sort of the black capital of America at the time, you're seeing this change happening on the ground with people living in Harlem saying, we don't want to be referred to as Negro anymore. We want to be referred to as black. You're seeing this reclaiming of the term. And that's informing not only the audience at the festival, but also the musicians on stage. There's this symbiotic sort of call and response happening. And hopefully we were able to capture that in the film.
And the original producer, Hal Tolchin, I think he passed away a couple years ago. He didn't get to see all this come together.
I know. I had talked to him for many years and he was, you know, very supportive of this version of the project. And as his surviving widow has told us, you know, Hal was a tough guy to please, but she said he would have loved this movie. So I, you know, feel good that we were able to honor his legacy in that way too.
Joseph Patel and Robert Fivelant are producers of Summer of Soul along with David Dinnerstein. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.